Thank you, Jesus. Father, we have declared that you're the only one who can take our lives and make something good of it. You can take our pain, you can take our shame, and you can turn it around. And I want to pray over each and every one of you in this manner, that no matter where you're at on your faith journey, for some of you, you're here today and this is new. This is just an introduction. There's curiosity. There's doubt. For others of you, this is an absolute commitment and posture of surrenderance that you've made to Jesus Christ. And yet we're all still on this journey. And no matter where you're at today, my prayer for you is simply this. That Lord, 1 year from now, we'd look back on this day and give you glory for the transformation, for the growth, for the discovery. And yet for some of you, I would encourage you, don't wait a year. Make it tomorrow. Make it tomorrow where you thank him for what's happening right now and right here. For some of you, it may be a few weeks before you feel the effect of God's goodness prompting you again to return to a place where you can worship. You can feel his presence. You can be reminded because of others that you're not alone. And if that's you in a few weeks and that's where you find yourself, again, the door's open. Come and find us. Come and discover with us. Because I promise you this, nobody has it right. We're all in process. We're all growing. And what we're grateful for today is the grace that allows us to be here, that allows us to celebrate, that allows us to get past our flaws. And it's that grace this morning that I want to make sure you know is available to you. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every heart that's in this room today. Lord, you know us so intimately and so perfectly. Father, with all the stars that are in the expanse of the universe, you know exactly where we're at. You know exactly what's going on in our life. And so Father, we come before you today and we ask again in the name of Jesus Christ. Remind us of your love. Reveal your love again to us, Lord. Open up the heavens and pour out your spirit on us. Pour out your spirit, Lord, in such a manner that tomorrow looks different. Because I'm looking through your eyes, Lord. I'm being led by you, Lord. And Heavenly Father, as we celebrate and acknowledge the resurrection of Jesus Christ, may we also recognize the healings, the deliverances, the transformation that comes with resurrection power. So if you're here today and you need a touch from the Lord in a physical way, I say be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Come on, all back pain's gotta go in the name of Jesus. All issues with your feet, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you're the healer. We thank you for the signs and wonders that are declaring your goodness. For those of you, I just sense that those of you that have, I just see the word knotted up stomachs. If you get knots in your stomach, I don't know if that's anxiety or if that's digestive issues, but I just declare in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Let those knots be untied. Let that discomfort be gone away. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on. He is good, amen? And all the time, God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Around here, you see these great orange Home Depot buckets. That's where we drop our offering. So if you have a tithe or an offering this morning, you can find those Home Depot buckets either up front or in the back. But one more time, would you bow your heart with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the offering and the giving and the tithing that happens in this house. And we thank you that, Lord, you will more than meet our needs. And we pray that, Lord, there'd be wisdom upon our elders and upon our leaders, Lord, to appropriate those funds for the preaching of the gospel, to hit the missionary field, to continue to be a location and a campus that hosts the presence of God, whether it's in church, a form of church, or whether it's inviting the community up to come and use our facility. We thank you for what we have. And I pray that each and every individual this morning would be blessed beyond what they could ever hope, imagine, or pray, or ask for, because, Lord, of the faithfulness that you bring when we begin to steward our finances with your heart and your intent. And so we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Let's welcome Pastor Mike this morning. Yeah, come on.
Good morning. Happy Easter, Resurrection Day, all that kind of stuff. Isn't it a great day? It really is. Hey, I'm going to take a few moments, and I really mean that, a few moments, and I want to share something that I have really never talked about before. I told my wife, you only got really one subject at Easter. You can't make something else up. What are we talking about? We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And hey, listen, that's a big deal. He rose from the dead. That is a big deal. And sometimes we hear it every year, we remind ourselves, but listen, let's not lose the awe or the significance that Jesus rose from the dead. And this week, as I was thinking about what to share, I began to think about, and I hadn't thought a lot about this, is what did Jesus do on the day he rose from the dead? What did he do that day? And I told my wife, if I was Jesus, which I'm not, and I rose from the dead, the first thing I would do is I would go to the people who tormented me and tortured me and go, how do you like me now? How do you like me now? You know, I would come, Herod bowed down and worshipped and mocked him. I would have said, Herod, shaka, take that. Oh, pick him up. Shaka, take that, pick him up. I would have gone to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said, so, who is the Son of God now? Who's the king, all right? And my wife said to me Tuesday night, she said, that's why you're not Jesus. Right? I mean, I'm not making this up. I thought, come on, man, look at me now. But Jesus didn't do that. And that's why I'm not Jesus. But what did he do? And as I was looking at this week, I'm going to give you four small snippets of what Jesus did on the day he rose from the dead. And they're going to be found in John 20 and Luke 24. And one I had never seen before, and I've been studying the Bible for a long time, and it was new to me, so let's do this real quick. So in John chapter 20, we have the story John records of this lady by the name of Mary Magdalene. And very early, when it was still dark, she runs to the tomb. And she notices, John tells the story, that the stone had been rolled away. Now, this was a big disc weighing hundreds and hundreds of pounds that would fit in this slot, and they would roll over the mouth of the cave. which was the tomb. And when Mary got there, this stone had been rolled away. And the first thing she does is she runs and finds Peter and John and says these words. They've taken Jesus. The stone's rolled away. And Peter and John ran back to the tomb. And I love John, like a little competition where John says, and I beat Peter there to the tomb. I love that. Outran him. I love that a little bit. And so John, the story goes, John, Mary, and Peter, they're looking at the tomb, and John's looking at it, and Peter runs past him, looks inside the tomb, and there he notices that the napkin and all the things that wrapped him up were nicely folded and put in place. Peter looks at it and goes, man, I don't know what's going on. And John goes, I believed. But then they left. And Mary stayed at the tomb. And she's crying and she's weeping. She's grieving. She's mourning. Why? Because this Mary had a really broken life. She really had a difficult, challenging life. And Jesus had forgiven her and healed her. And the Bible says, he who has been forgiven much loves much. And she loved Jesus deeply. And so she's mourning and she's weeping. And she finally sticks her head inside this cave tomb. And she looks inside. Two angels appear and says to her, woman, why are you crying and why are you looking for the living among the dead? She doesn't even get like, I saw angels. She is such in grief that she just says, they've taken Jesus and I don't know where they've taken him. And then she hears a voice behind her and says the same question, woman, why are you crying and who are you looking for? And she thought it was the gardener. And so she says to the gardener, hey, if you know where he's gone, please tell me and I will get him and bring him back. And Jesus says this, Mary. She stops crying. She turns and she goes, Rabboni, which means teacher. She recognized the voice of the one she loved. And she runs and she hugs Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, don't hold on to me. I got to get to my father. I got some stuff to do. Go back and tell the disciples, I'm going back to your God and my God, your father and my father. And so she gets up and she runs back to the disciples. That's the first person. Somewhere later in the day, this is a strangely odd, mysterious story. Luke 24 records two guys walking down the road to Emmaus. Emmaus was a small village 7 miles away from Jerusalem where Jesus dies, where he died. And these guys were not the biggies. These were not like Mark or Luke or anybody like that. This was Cleopas, and we don't know who the other person is. And these guys are walking down this road to Emmaus, and they are followers of Jesus. And as they're walking this road, suddenly Jesus comes up beside them, but he keeps them from seeing who he really is. And Jesus asked them this question, hey, fellas, what you talking about? And they said, are you visitors to Jerusalem? Haven't you heard what's going on? He goes, no, tell me what's going on. And he goes, well, this Jesus of Nazareth, he was a man of power and deed with between God and men. And we had hoped that he was the Redeemer of Israel. They bowed their heads. They had hoped Jesus was the guy. And Jesus looks at them and says, hey man, your faith should be further along than this. Don't you know that the Bible says that the Messiah has to, or the Christ, has to suffer and then be glorified? And Jesus walks along the road on the day he rose from the dead, and he's doing a Bible study with two guys that are just nobodies, really. We don't know anything about them. But he spent the time walking down a road with two guys. And it says, starting with Moses and the prophets, he begins to explain to them about how the Christ had to suffer and then be glorified. So they keep walking, and now it's starting to become evening, and you don't walk the roads at night by yourself. So they made it to Emmaus, and they pull off to get some food. Jesus seems to be keep walking forward, and they say, hey, come sit with us. Let's have some food. And so they did. Jesus takes bread. He blesses it, thanks it, and breaks it, and then they see Jesus. And guess what Jesus does? He does a Houdini. He's gone. He just evaporates. Just gone. And the guys are saying, hey man, weren't we burning, our chest burning, as he was opening up the scripture? And as they said, man, we got to go tell the disciples. So in the evening, when it's not safe to travel, they go back the 7 miles and they tell the disciples and all the women saying, hey, listen, he is alive. He appeared to us. He is risen. And then they said something that has bothered me for a lot of years because I didn't know what it meant. They said, he's appeared to Simon and the others. So here's what I thought for years. Simon was the other guy besides Cleopas. But here's what I discovered after years reading the scripture. Are you ready? For me, it was a big deal. Here's the third person. Jesus appeared to Simon Peter privately before he revealed himself to the other disciples. Simon Peter, who was the coward. Simon Peter, who promised not to disown Jesus. Simon Peter, who said, we're going to die for you, Jesus. Simon Peter, Mike, how do you know that? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that on the day Jesus rose from the dead, he first of all revealed himself to Peter, then the 12, and then 500, and then to James, and the last of all, him. That Jesus had this private conversation with the guy who said, I will never deny you. And somewhere in the time between Mary and these two no-name disciples, Jesus has a private conversation with Peter and speaks words of love to him. There are no recorded words of what Jesus and Peter talked about. But I think it's very much like two people who are in love. You don't share everything you talk about with that person you're in love. But Jesus took the time on the day he rose from the dead to have a private conversation with Peter, the one who denied him, the one who took a sword and whacked off a guy's ear. And Jesus said, put your sword away, Peter. And if I was Peter, I would have said, then why did you tell me to bring a sword? Heals the guy's ear. Peter, listen, Peter goes with John to where Jesus is being interrogated by the religious leaders. And here's what happens. John goes in because he knows the high priest. Peter is around these fire pits. And this little servant girl says to him, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? And Peter goes, nah, I'm not. Goes to another fire pit. Hey, another guy goes, hey, wait a sec. You are one of his disciples. I've seen you. And Peter goes, no, I'm not. Goes to another fire pit. And then the guy goes, yes, you are. You're a Galilean. You are a follower of Jesus. And Peter calls down curses on himself and says, I don't know this man. Immediately a rooster crows. And the timing of it is amazing. Jesus is being led away from the Sanhedrin where he is being interrogated and either going to Herod or to Pontius Pilate. And as soon as Peter says, I don't know you, the Bible says in Luke that Peter and Jesus' eyes, they met. And Peter ran out into the darkness weeping. Here's the fourth person. How many's ever heard this phrase, doubting Thomas? This guy, doubting Thomas, it was 1 week after the day Jesus rose from the dead. And we find this in John chapter 20. And when Jesus appears that night, now we have Mary in the morning, Peter somewhere there, the two disciples, and then in the evening, Jesus appears to the 10 disciples who are in this room, afraid the Jews are going to come and get him and take him away. And as he appears in this room, they just, boom, out of nowhere, there's Jesus in the room. Everybody but Peter was in that room. Oh, excuse me, Thomas was in that room. The disciples tell Thomas, Thomas, Jesus is risen. We've seen him. We've touched him. We had food with him. He is risen. And Thomas said, I will not believe it unless I put my hands right in the holes of his hands and put my fist in his side. I will not believe it. 1 week later, Jesus does it again. He appears in the room suddenly and he turns to Thomas and he says this, put your hands here, put your fist here, stop doubting and just believe. And in every Bible I get, I underline these words in John chapter 20 verse 29, where Jesus says, You believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. Now, let's break these down and we're done. Maybe you're here this morning and you can identify with Mary. You know what Jesus has forgiven you of, and you love him for it, but today, this season of life, you're heartbroken and you're alone. Everyone else is scattered and you're there by yourself and you're heartbroken and you're alone, just like Mary was. And what Jesus did for Mary, he'll do for you. He will reveal himself to you as a God who really loves you. Secondly, you might be these two guys on the road to Emmaus. You're not who everybody knows about. You don't get a microphone. You don't stand behind a pulpit. You're just a follower of Jesus. But you had hoped him to be something, and he didn't seem to turn out to be that way. You heard the message of Jesus. You began to follow him, yet you're still not really sure about Jesus. You've gone through disappointment. You've gone through times, but you didn't know what was going on. But you really, in your heart, you really want to know the truth. Just like these guys on the road to Emmaus. Here's the promise. Jesus will reveal himself to you as well. Or maybe you're like Peter. You've made promises that you haven't kept. In fact, there have been times when you've been cowardly when you should have been courageous. You have moments when you seem so strong in your relationship with Jesus, and then you just feel like a failure. What happened? I felt so tight. I felt like we were going somewhere. And then it just kind of goes, pwah. Here's the promise. Jesus will reveal himself to you. And last, maybe you're like Thomas. You doubt the message even when people you know who love you and they would never lie to you. And their lives show the reality of his living. They have told you he is risen, and yet you doubt. People have told you they've lived before you and you still doubt. Here's the promise. Jesus will reveal himself to you as well. And here's the beautiful thing about Jesus. Blessed are you. You have not seen, but you still believe. And so Jesus may not, I would doubt he's going to appear in this room suddenly. It'd be really cool if he did. But he promises something of who he is by nature. I can take, even you can't see me here, you can see me here. And you can see me here. And here's his promise. He will reveal himself to you. By last week, I talked about this. And I'm done. Last week, I talked about how I was raised in church. I went every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Probably Monday night practice. We were four nights a week family at our church. And I still didn't see it. And you're here this morning and you've had a great breakfast. Yay. That's awesome. Right? Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. But my prayer all week is this. You have to see it for yourself. And what Jesus is looking for is this, not people who are perfect. We already saw this. He's looking for people who are saying, I really want to know truth. I really want to know if you're real or not. This isn't like I don't have doubts, I don't have questions. That's not the issue. We all do. It is that place, though, where you go, Jesus, if you're real, I really want to know that. Even if I'm alone and brokenhearted. Even if I am not sure because I've gone through disappointments where I maybe trusted you and then I prayed for this and it didn't happen. Now I'm so not sure. Maybe this, you've made promises you haven't kept. Maybe there's this place where you've been, I should know better, but you haven't. Maybe you're that person like Thomas. You've got people in your life who are saying he's real, but something hasn't clicked for you yet. This could be the day where you get to see the reality that he is risen. That's okay. Yeah, he needs it. He deserves that. And you might have got here because of a family or a friend invited you here. But you know what we believe? Jesus wanted you to hear about him. That he loves you so much. That he wanted you to hear the message and receive the blessing of, even if you haven't seen him physically, but you still believe in him because the truth is, he is risen indeed. So if the worship team would come up. please. We're going to sing this little song. It's an invitation song. And it's a song that says, come just as you are. All of us in this place have come to that place as a follower of Jesus Christ where it just clicked. It just, that's it. I see it. And what it was about was this. People were saying, I really want to know the truth. I really want to know who Jesus is. Everything else, all the stuff about the church and all the stuff about Christian, all that stuff. Okay, we are imperfect beings, but here's the reality. He is not. He is a perfect Savior. And if something has resonated in your heart this morning, I'm going to ask you two things. Number one, as the song begins, number one, we've got some people here who just want to pray for you. And that might be a little odd. You're on an Easter Sunday, Mike. I just came for breakfast to hear a message to go home. Unless the Lord is saying, hey, Mike, or whatever your name is, I want to show you that I'm real. We're going to have some people up here ready just to pray for you, just to bless you. If you say, Mike, I don't feel comfortable with that, then people around your table, just say, hey, listen, man, I can relate to Mary, or I can relate to the two guys to Emmaus. I can relate to Peter, or I can relate to Thomas. Would you pray for me? Because our whole heart for gathering you today is that you get to encounter Jesus Christ in whatever place you're at, wherever you're at, whatever place of life you're at. Pastor Jeff, would you come join as well? Could you come join? Jerry, could you come with your team? The worship team's going to sing the song, and if you want someone just to pray with you, we're not, all we're doing is just going to bless you and pray for you. Thanks for coming up, Diamond. Lord, we're going to come up this way first.
Sorry. Yeah, no, it's okay. Diamond, yeah, Linda, Teresa, Rowena, do you mind coming up? Jerry and Henry. Yeah, just line right up front here. Oh, awesome. Amen. So we picked up one more, Robbie, right here. And we got Linda. Right here, Linda. Yeah, just stand up behind her. Josh, do you mind getting behind Robbie? Amen. What you're going to see happen this morning is we're going to take a moment just to introduce them, and then they're going to make their way out the door, get ready, and then find their way up. Our baptismal pool is below the cross, and so I'll give you guys a little instructions here in a moment. But for the rest of you, this is an opportunity to be reminded of what your baptism stands for if you've been baptized in the Lord. The water, and we've talked about this in a class. And Robbie, I know you're just jumping in, but we're going to give it to you right now. So the water represents a grave. It's the same grave that Jesus laid himself down in. And it's a symbolic grave. And when you go down in the water, we're saying that your life through faith and confession is being laid down like it's been laid down in Jesus' life. And then you coming out of the water says that there is a resurrection that's happening. There is a statement. Now, many of you would understand that, again, baptism is not necessary for our salvation. A confession of faith and a believing in our heart is necessary. Baptism is something that Jesus commanded because he took on the likeness of man, and everything he did we're called to do. And so some of you will recall he went down to the Jordan River where his cousin John, known as John the Baptist, was baptizing. And John said, I cannot baptize you, but Jesus said, it must be done. And one of the things that we believe with baptism, according to the scriptures and in the likeness of Jesus, is that as you come up out of the water, you're going to find yourself with new freedom. You're going to hear a voice like you've never heard before from the Father saying, you are my daughter, you are my son, you are my daughter, I am well pleased with you. If the Lord so chooses to open up the heavens today and have his Spirit descend upon you in a form of a dove, we will 100% take that. It's not a requirement, but we see it upon Jesus, and so we believe it. But here's the other thing that you're going to hear and see over the next few days. Is the Lord visiting you in new ways? The Lord opening up truth to you? that has maybe been hard to get over, to accept, or to find freedom from. Because baptism is a declaration we make in two realms. We make right here publicly before all of us, but we also make it before all of heaven. And that public declaration is now your weapon from this day on. That weapon that you can use when the accuser comes and says, I don't think so. You're not worthy. We're not going any further from here. You can stand and say, I stood before others and before heaven, and I stood in such a manner that I gave my life over to the grave, and I came up and I was born again with the joy of the Lord. Amen. And so in a moment, I'll have you each introduce yourself, and then I have a few testimonies. I want to give you an instruction before you make your way back there. There is a baptismal pool that you will walk down into. You'll see a little bench. You'll take a seat on that bench. The best position for those of you to take is to cross your arms and kind of put your hands up by your shoulders, because your elbows become our handles so that we don't lose you in the water. We're able to kind of guide your head back and pull you back up with your elbows. Here's the other thing, just we get this out of the way. There will be a hesitation. And here's the other thing. When you cross your arms, you can also plug your nose. And that's just probably a good thing so that water doesn't go up your nose. But here's the other thing. There might be a little bit of a hesitation to not want to go all the way down and get you fully immersed. So if you feel us pull you down a little bit, it's because we want a full immersion baptism. And that's the only reason. And so just let us guide you down. Josh will take care of it. And these individuals standing behind you will join with you. But real quickly, let's just get your name. And why are you getting baptized today?
Diamond Hogan, and I'm coming back from venturing out.
Amen, Diamond. Beautiful.
That's awesome. Teresa Sorg, and I'm coming here to wipe away all my fears and the scars of my past history.
Beautiful. Amen.
My name is Robert Monsbroughton, and I am coming here because I am a recovering addict alcoholic, and it's time for my life to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Linda Fee, and it's just something I've always wanted to do.
Amen. Can we give him a round of applause? I'm going to give you one testimony, and this is from Henry regarding Linda.
We met Linda, my son and I did. It was in the late 90s. And since then, she had moved to Weezer. In 2016, she gave me a call. And she says, I want you to baptize me. And that was the only thing that we spoke of. And since then, Linda's going through some little bit of troubles right now, and I didn't know that. When I called her, I asked her if she could drive down from Weezer, and she said that I am here in Clarkston. So that was quite a few years ago that, you know, God gives us things, maybe in the immediate, but maybe not in the immediate, you know, and it's our perseverance in believing and trusting that whatever we ask of God, that he's going to give it to you. It's just not on our timing. So I bless Linda. She's a good friend.
Beautiful. So what we're going to have them do right now is repeat after me a sinner's prayer that just acknowledges that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And I know many of you have done this, but just repeat after me. And any of you in here that want to join with us, feel free to do so. So the four of you, would you just repeat after me? Lord Jesus Christ, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know and recognize that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door while I hear you knocking. I am ready today to make you Lord and Savior of my life. By faith, I am gratefully recognizing that you have given me a gift of salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe today that you, Jesus, are the Son of God, who died on a cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. I acknowledge that I need forgiveness and that only you can offer it. And your gift to me today is salvation and the gift of eternal life. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come into my life and begin to do a work that brings transformation and glory to your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah, would you celebrate with them? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. So what I'm going to have you all do is I'm going to have you follow Josh, and he's going to lead you. Some of you may need to get ready, and that's okay. And so why don't you walk out that way? And when you're ready, Josh, just give us the sign up ahead. Yeah, and make sure you've got your cell phones out of your pockets, any keys. Awesome. For the rest of you, while they're getting ready, I just want to again invite the worship team and invite you to come and receive prayer. There's a few people that will stay up here and be available to pray for you. I know some of you are headed back to help with the baptismal pool. Yeah, no, you're okay. If you want to take a seat, we're just going to give them a moment. And we're going to celebrate with them. But why don't we join with the worship team and just continue to invite Jesus to come. And he invites you to come just as you are. It's kind of like waiting Mary at the empty tomb. Where is Jesus? Where are those that are getting baptized? Josh, how are we doing? You can pray for them. The water's a little cold. For those of you, there's some of you that I know have asked to be baptized this summer when we do it down at the river. And so that'll be available as well. But one thing is we're waiting. Just to encourage you, your baptism that you carry really is a weapon, and it has power. And if you've never thought about that before, I just want to remind you and encourage you that if you're having a hard day or in a hard season and you've been baptized, stand before the Lord, grab a witness, and just say, Lord, I know that I've been baptized. I know that I stood before others and I've stood before heaven and earth, and there is a testimony in your baptism. Years ago when I got born again, it took me a few years before I understood baptism. My parents chose to baptize me when I was a little kid in the Catholic Church as an infant. But baptism is a symbol of your faith, your decision. And so after I got born again, it was a few years later, and I had done a lot of baptisms for others. And I was in a rough season, and if somebody sees them stick their head out, just flag me down, because I can tell stories all day, but I'll make sure I stop as soon as we see them. But yeah, I was in a rough season. I was struggling with a lot of depression, a lot of heartache. I had some bondage in my life, and it dawned on me one day as I was baptizing others that the Lord just said, you need to be baptized. It's your weapon. It's how you overcome. And there's a declaration, and I believed it for other people's lives. I just didn't think about it for my own life. And so I was so convicted in that moment, because I'd been born again for years and had done a lot of baptisms, that I went home, and in the bathtub, I had my wife, Jacqueline, and at that time, our oldest son, Josiah. Yes. Yeah. Heather, on that grid back there, there's an Echo Hills shirt. Can you grab that for them? Yeah, so I went home after that evening service, and it's just hanging on a hanger there. You can pull it right off. Out in the lobby on the grid. Thank you. And I asked Jacqueline, and my Josiah probably was what, about four years old. And I just put on a pair of swim trunks, got in the bathtub, and I had them baptize me right then and there. And because I was so determined that, Lord, I didn't want to go another moment or another day. And can I just tell you, something changed in my life that day, to where that declaration before my wife and kids and before heaven and earth began to give me a power and authority over the temptation, over the bondage, over the depression that I believed to be true. I just hadn't experienced it yet. And so again, if any of you are in that place where you just are wrestling or trying to navigate a situation and you carry a testimony of being baptized in water, this is why we make a big deal out of it, is that there's something that happens, and we believe it's our recognition with what Jesus said to do. And so in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you'd find yourself victorious, that you'd use your baptism, that you'd use the message of salvation that you carry, that you know that you're a light, you're more than a conqueror, you're an overcomer, against the tactics and schemes of the enemy. Amen? Amen. Maybe they got raptured, John said. They're no longer with us. Thank you for your patience. All right, here we go. Awesome. We have Teresa up. Josh is going to pray over them, and we'll just join with them. Yeah, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Teresa. Yeah, amen. Come on, who do we got next? Diamond, awesome. Come on, Diamond. Woo-hoo! Yeah, Diamond! Amen! Come on. Hallelujah. Robbie. Awesome. Pray for Robbie. I know many of you have come out of addiction. Many of you have come through just the heartache, whether it's personally or have had loved ones. And for him to jump in tonight, today, and just go for it is an incredible testimony. And so, Lord, we thank you right now for him. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, that you'd surround him with a great support system. Yes, Jesus. Thank you for deliverance. Come on. Yeah, yeah. That's the look of, it's a little cold. Yeah, man. Woo! Yeah, that'll wait. Amen. And we got Linda. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. As she makes her way into the water, when she's done, we'll close in a song and dismiss you. And again, just thank you for being with us today. We pray that your resurrection story is encouraging to others. And so go share it tomorrow when you go to work, when you connect with others, when you visit us and come back next Sunday, or if you are part of another fellowship, we just want to encourage you to share your story and that you'd have the courage to preach the gospel everywhere you go. Amen. Oh, amen, Linda. Oh, yeah, it's a little cold. You'll remember this day. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we tried. We did try to warm it up, actually. God bless you, Pastor Mike. The effort was there. Lord. Thank you. Yeah, Linda, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Would you join with me and just begin to pray for Linda? The Lord has made. Awesome. Would you all stand with us and let's close out with this song.
Wow, what a celebration. Can you give somebody a high five? You just at least high five somebody. Like, this is awesome. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. Have an incredible rest of the day. If you want to take any food home, please feel free to make a plate. We'll put out some tinfoil. Otherwise, God bless you. Have an incredible week. For those of you in power groups, have a great week gathering.